It's 3:47, and we were listening to a few minutes of music from Orpheus in the Underworld by Jacques Offenbach. And I have Giancarlo Pierce here, the artistic director of Doñana Lyric Opera, to talk about the production of Orpheus in the Underworld, which takes place this weekend, tomorrow night, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon. Now, the Greek myth, Orpheus, is rather tragic. This is a parody, and its most famous music, which we just heard, is not an aria, but the music for the Can-Can, although that's not what it's called in the opera. It's called the Infernal Gallop. So, Giancarlo Pierce, welcome back to KRWG. Let's talk about Orpheus.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about it. Thank you very much for having me back. I'm very happy to be here.
Okay, so here's a series of questions. Mm-hmm. Tell us about this opera, which is a parody, right, and the Can-Can, and why you chose it for this year's production of Doñana Lyric Opera.
Sure. Whether you know the legend of Orpheus or not, basically Orpheus loses his wife Eurydice on the evening or on the day of their marriage. She's been bitten by a snake and goes to the underworld. And Orpheus, in his grief, decides to travel to the underworld and confront the Furies and beg for his wife's return. And the proviso is that he leads her back to Earth level without turning around and seeing her. And unfortunately, he can't quite make it because he starts to doubt that she's even behind him. And he turns around and does see her, and she has to return to the underworld. And then the legend goes on. He dies then. It is a tragic story for the two of them. Neither of them survive.
Although he becomes the embodiment of poetry and music by playing his instrument to bring the sun up and to have the sun set. I forget
it
is, but yes.
Yeah. He brings his lyre with him on his journey down to the underworld, and he enchants the Furies with his beautiful music and his voice.
Yeah.
So he becomes the ideal, first of all, the ideal man who wants his wife back, and then the embodiment, as you say, of music and the arts.
And the
in
arts.
Greek mythology.
So it's tragic. How in the world did Jacques Offenbach make this into a parody?
Well, first of all, he makes the marriage between Orpheus and Eurydice quite a bit more bitter. They have been together, I'm guessing, for about 7 years, and the itch is starting to get quite incontrollable, particularly in the case of Eurydice. And she starts to fancy a shepherd that lives next door named Aristeus, or at least that's the name that he's been living under. It turns out that he is Pluto, the god of the underworld himself. And he finally arranges for her to be bitten by a snake so that he can take her down to the underworld with him.
And public opinion is a character in
right.
this opera.
Yeah.
So I read that it was a parody on Gluck, Christoph Willibald Gluck, who wrote a big, beautiful, famous opera, Orpheus, and Orphée and Eurydice or Eurydice, depends which language I guess we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually a big year for Gluck. This is the 300th anniversary year of his birth. So I know that's coming up in this summer. So there he is being parodied. I mean, it is this sort of embittered marriage, mm-hmm. and there's all sorts of, it's opera buffa, so buffoonery.
That's right.
That goes on. Why did Offenbach want to write such a scathing parody of Gluck?
That's a really good question. It speaks to the long memories of the French opera-going public. I mean, if you think of when Orphée arrived in Paris, it was in the late 18th century, in the 1790s. And now we're talking about 1858, and that piece obviously still had great resonance with the French. They still knew the music very well and the story very well, and Offenbach decided for his first full-length comic opera that he would send up this myth and this particular setting of that myth. Gluck's setting of it. He includes a short musical quotation from the opera a couple of times, but who knows why he chose it.
But that's the perfect term. It's a send-up.
Yeah.
It's just a spoof on it. And it has the Can-Can, which went on to become so famous in dance halls in Europe, and ever since. It is the music of the Can-Can. If you don't know anything else about any French dance or music, you're likely to have heard the Can-Can.
Yeah.
Any thoughts as to why that little piece of it became so famous?
Well, I think for the critics of the time, I think to have dance hall music in an opera was something quite scandalous, actually. And I think that when the public at the time spoke about this piece, this is probably the thing that they spoke about most, was the fact that there was a kick line at skirts being thrown up in an opera.
Yeah.
I think that was quite
So he was
surprising.
So he wasn't just kind of profaning the ancient myth, but also the whole idea of opera.
He was profaning everything.
Yeah.
Everything. The government, it's all in there. His wit must have been quite sharp, because everything is sent up.
We're talking about the opera Orpheus in the Underworld by Jacques Offenbach. It will be performed this weekend at the Atkinson Recital Hall. Tomorrow night, Friday night, March 14th, Saturday night, March 15th at 7:30, as I recall, and Sunday, March 16th at 3. Giancarlo Pierce, tell us about this particular production. Who's in it, and what have you done to make it...
Well, one of my primary reasons for choosing this piece is because we have a great soprano. And this piece, Eurydice, the role is the big role in this piece. She carries the evening. And we've got a great graduate student from China. Her name is Chen Yang. She was in last year's production of Dido and Aeneas. And just watching her work in that production, and now that I'm her teacher, I'm her principal teacher, I thought to myself, this is the thing that's going to be what she does at NMSU that really puts her name down in the books. It just suits her so well. She has an amazing voice, an amazing range, facility, high notes, and she's adorable. And I really want to give her a huge round of applause in the fact that she's doing English dialogue as a non-native English speaker. I know that's been a challenge for her, and she's absolutely risen to the challenge. Her performance is just absolutely charming, endearing, and I know that the audiences will just eat her up.
And who else is performing?
Orpheus is being played by Christopher Borrego, who was a local boy, a graduate of Las Cruces High School. He's been at NMSU. Now this is his second year. Also showing great promise and has made great progress over this year. Also, Richard Rundell, who is one of our favorites, Dalo favorite, as well as NMSU, is playing the role of John Styx, who appears in the second half of the opera.
The guardian of the underworld,
that's
on
right.
The River Styx.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Carrie Klofak, who is also a local theater regular, is part of our faculty this year and is singing the role of Diana, the goddess of the chase, of the hunt. And I have to admit that I put myself in the opera as well. I've taken the role of Pluto, the god of the underworld. And it's been a great challenge for me, and it's been great fun for me to try to take on both roles of director and performing in the opera.
Now, have you ever directed this opera before?
No, I haven't, no. But I've been in another production many, many years ago, about 10 years ago, when I was working in Germany.
Uh-huh.
I sang Orpheus in that production, and it was so much fun. It was such a great production. And this piece has always stuck with me as just fun. It's just so the music is enjoyable. The story is enjoyable, and there are such great roles in there, little cameos for so many different types of voices and types of people. And I just thought that it would be a perfect fit for us this year.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, dancers, you must have to have dancers for that famous can-can.
Yes, the cast is dancing the can-can.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we are dancing the can-can.
Okay.
Some basic steps, but there is a kick line, and then we try to sing and huff and puff through that. And it's fun, it's a workout, but... again, it's just, you know, one of the greatest moments of the opera for me.
And so one last question in terms of the production. Is this an orchestra of freelancers? Have you sort of put together?
We have a conductor. Our conductor is a student. He's a music education student. He's doing his practicum right now at Coronado High School. Evan Dorbant is his name, and he's put together an orchestra of students, mostly with a few ringers from the La Catrina Quartet. Roberta Arruda is the concert mistress, and Daniel Vega Albela is is also playing violin.
So that will strengthen that core orchestra.
Exactly, that's right.
So when did you start rehearsing?
We actually started with musical rehearsals before Thanksgiving because we are performing in French.
Oh, so it's so. I was going to ask that question, yeah. But then you said that your star Chinese singer is doing it in English.
That's right. So the singing is in French, and the dialogue is in English.
And for the singing, is there any way of people understanding the words?
Oh yes, we have super titles in English projected so that they can follow along. But it added another wrinkle, another challenge for us to overcome, something else for the students to master. French is generally, for most young singers, for most singers, the most difficult language to master as far as singing is concerned, because there are so many vowels that are completely foreign to
English speakers. It's so different, and the R is different, and it's a difficult language. And in singing, it's different than when it's spoken, because you pronounce syllables that you wouldn't pronounce if
exactly.
it was spoken. Wow, so this is a bilingual production, but French-English of Orpheus and the Underworld. Very interesting. Super titles in the history of opera, relatively recent addition, but now it seems like it is everywhere and so needed because it makes the opera accessible to everybody.
That's right.
To be able to read what's happening right up there on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've only got about 45 seconds, but have you done anything else with this that makes it sort of unique or local or interesting?
Well, I can't say that we've done too much of that. There are a few references to local flora and fauna, perhaps.
Okay, well, that's what I was getting at, wondering if you have something like that. All right, Orpheus in the Underworld, thank you so much for coming in, Giancarlo Pierce. Performances are this weekend at the Atkinson Recital Hall, 7:30, Friday, Saturday, 3 o'clock on Sunday. Have a great production.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, and have a great day. It's 4 o'clock.